As many of you already know, we're in a time of mourning here at Sunnyside due to the loss of Caden, and now we share in that sympathy and condolences to Janet, the loss of her mother, and to Linda Schaefer's aunt. One thing you can also add to your prayer list that I omitted, and I apologize for that, during our announcement time, was that Bobby Young's mother, Lucille Young, has had a very serious stroke and is in DMH. Bobby and Barbara have been worshiping with us now for a couple months, and we're glad to have them. And so please add Lucille Young to your prayer list, and that she can recover from this serious stroke that she has suffered. I remember back many years, Bonnie and I were on our honeymoon, and we went out to Washington, D.C., and I had a great atlas that allowed me and her help to get out there, and had a great map of Washington and all of the monuments and things that we wanted to visit, and we just had a wonderful time. The last thing that we were going to do before we headed back west to come home was visit the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. And we found that just fine. It was great. And we wandered around. We were middle of the day, and there wasn't any programs or shows going on, but we just enjoyed our own self-guided tour of the place along with others. And now it was time to head back to Illinois. And so we came out of that parking lot, and I just said, all I got to do is go down here and make a left and cook on, get on the interstate. We're good to go. And somebody moved that interstate. They didn't check with me before they moved that interstate. Now, I knew the road. I mean, I knew every road that we went to. It was just a wonderful time of not getting lost in D.C., and I guarantee you, I knew the road, at least thought I did, and I was lost. And we got out of D.C., all right, but it was a little later than what I really wanted to get out of D.C. Have you ever been there in that particular situation where you feel like you know the road, you know the area, and you know, maybe it's just the guy in me, you know, I'm not going to ask for directions, you know. But you're lost. And I came to that realization real fast that here I thought I had it all figured out and we were on our way home and I just turn on this road and head west and then we're good to go. And sure enough, about an hour later, we finally got out of D.C. I'm here to tell you by that introduction, true introduction, that I want to talk about some people from the Bible, namely the book of Acts. For those of you in my Acts class on Sunday morning, this will be a quick overview and in some respects review of what we already studied. But I want to take a look at some people who knew the road in life. They knew their road in life, but they were lost. Now, may they not realize they were lost, but they needed to realize they're lost. And so as we review these wonderful stories this morning here out of the book of Acts, you're going to see some people who knew some roads in life. They knew some things that they could do. They had talent, they had ability, they had intelligence. They had all kinds of good things going for them. Except one problem. They were lost. Lost in sin. And needed Jesus Christ. And so if you have your Sunday talk as you were given as you came in from the greeters today, I invite you again, as always, turn to page 3 there and follow along as we go through our sermon today, our lesson today, and talk about they knew the road, but they were lost. The first person that you see listed there that I want to briefly talk about, and I do not have time, nor will I take time to read all of these passages out of the book of Acts. I wish we would have about an hour for this sermon, and I could do that, but time will not permit. But we're going to talk in brief and in paraphrase here of these wonderful stories. The first person I want to talk about is the Queen's Treasurer, because this person knew the road of devotion. Knew the road of devotion. Now, I like this fella, and you ought to like him too. This guy was devout. He was from Ethiopia. And while today with our jet planes and super trains and all that, and we can go such a great distance in such a short period of time, to go from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to us may not be much, but in his day, that was a trip. That took days. That took effort. That took a lot of money. But this fellow was so devoted as a Jew that truly he had came to Jerusalem to worship God, probably to celebrate one of the many feasts that are up there, maybe even the Feast of the Pentecost that we read about a few chapters earlier in the book. And now he's on his way home back to Ethiopia. He has power, he has prestige, he has authority, but yet he's very devoted. He is spending his time as he's riding in the chariot reading from the prophet Isaiah. And he's not just reading it because he needs something better, doesn't have anything better to do, but he's thinking, he's contemplating, he's meditating. So much so that when Philip comes up to the chariot and says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He says, "How can I? Unless someone explains it to me." Is the prophet talking about himself or somebody else? I like this guy. He's thinking it through. He wants to know what the book says. He is devoted. I think of people today in their religious lives, many of them extremely devoted. Truly, they have a one-track mind, and it's a good track, that they want to do the right thing, they want to be the right kind of person, they have a great faith in God, right down the line. But they're not saved. They're not in a saved relationship with Christ. And as much as this Ethiopian eunuch, this queen's treasurer, had all this devotion and all this going for him, he still needed Philip to come up there and preach the gospel and introduce Jesus to him. He needed somebody to answer his questions and set him on the right path. Of course, his obvious question there was, is the prophet talking about himself or somebody else? Philip says, he's talking about somebody else. He's talking about Jesus. And the text there says in Acts 8 and verse 35 that Philip began with that very scripture and taught him Jesus. Do you know some people in your life that are the same way? Extremely devoted, wonderful people, good people, moral people, ethical people. But yet they need to start with the Bible and be taught Jesus. Yeah. I like devoted people, but devoted people need Jesus. And so truly when we think about people who know the road, this is a good road to be on, but it's not enough. Truly they need the gospel. They need Jesus Christ and to be obedient unto Him. The second person I want to talk about is an individual very familiar to you. This is Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus. Now, we know him as the Apostle Paul, but I'm going to talk to you about before he became a Christian, before he became an apostle, as Saul of Tarsus. And we read about his conversion there in Acts chapter 9. This person, good old Saul, knew the road of law. Knew the road of law. Now, law's good up to point. I like law. Law gives order and direction and sanity to life. I am appreciative when people obey the civil law. It's there for a reason. God put it there. It regulates society. It protects us from our own evils to a certain extent. The law tries to punish evildoers in such a way that it becomes a just sentence for them and a deterrent to others for committing the same crime. And so I'm not opposed to law. I think law is a good thing. Even the law of Moses is a good thing. It comes from God. It's actually not even Moses' law. It's God's law given through Moses, if you want to be real technical about it. And the law of Moses allowed the Jews to have a very in-depth and very personal relationship with God. That they knew exactly what God wanted them to do and who they were supposed to be and to function. And there was the whole priesthood thing when sin got in the way, that God had made all of these different offerings for them. And so the law was a good thing. But as Paul argues extensively in the book of Romans, and you've heard me say time and again because it's true, as good as law is, law doesn't save. And so we talk about Saul of Tarsus, and if there was anyone who was very zealous for the law, it was him. Paul writes about himself there in Philippians chapter 3, and he says, as to the law, found blameless. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, the tribe of Benjamin, etc., etc., as he writes there. It was a good thing. I mean, if you want to hold up the poster boy, for keeping the law, it's Saul of Tarsus. Oh, yeah. I couldn't think of anybody better. But you know what? Law can't save him. As good and as well as he kept it, Paul needed Jesus Christ. He needed to hear the gospel. He needed the blood of Jesus to cleanse his sin, because law, no matter how good he keeps it, he won't keep it perfectly, and the law by its very nature has no remedy for sin. As much as I like law and rule keeping and obeying commandments, because that's all part of the book, none of that saves me. Jesus saves me. Jesus saves you. And so, do you know some folks out there who are good law-abiding citizens? I do. I like them. It's wonderful. It's great. I applaud them for that. But it will not save them. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need the good news that Jesus died for them and can save them from their sins. If they know the road of law, that's a good thing. But that road will not save them. Let us get the gospel to them before it's too late. Well, the third fellow that I want to talk about, in some ways these stories just get better. And that's Cornelius, whom we read about in Acts chapter 10. And again, I wish time would allow me to go through this story. I'm just going to do it in microcosm. But Cornelius was a person who knew the road of sincerity. I believe Cornelius knew the road of sincerity. And again, this is a wonderful road to be on. I just think it's great when people are sincere, don't have ulterior motives. They're not lying to me. They're not misrepresenting themselves. They would never on purpose lie or cheat or steal because they're sincere. Sincerity and devotion kind of go hand in hand in this way. And this is the kind of lifestyle that I see out of Cornelius, as Luke records for us there. Here is a very devout man. There's that word, devotion again. Here's a man who gave alms to the poor. Here's a man who prayed. Here is a man who was very good at his job, very upright, very trustworthy. He was a centurion. Just a lot of good things about Cornelius. And his household was with him. He was a family man. He was so sincere about his faith that truly where he went, his family went. And truly, when Peter came to his household to preach the gospel, it wasn't just to Cornelius. Cornelius got his household together and says, you've got to hear what this guy's got to say. But as good as Cornelius was, praying, sincere, giving person, he was lost. Wow, that's tough, isn't it? I mean, in some ways it is when you think that too. It's like, God, are you just being too strict here? Well, of course he's not. But Cornelius needed Jesus. He needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. He needed the good news that Jesus was the answer to his sin problem. That Jesus was the answer and it was better than being sincere. You see, there's something better than devotion, and devotion's a good thing. There's something better than law, and law's a good thing. There's something better than sincerity, and sincerity's a good thing. That which is better is Jesus Christ. Yeah. Because when you've got Him, you've got forgiveness, you've got salvation, you've got membership in His church, and you've got the correct devotion and the correct law and the correct sincerity. Yeah, it all falls into place. Do you have folks in your life, or maybe you work with, or even in your family, that you would say extremely sincere? Well, I think that's wonderful. I really do. But if they don't have Christ, they're lost. They need to give their life to Him. Share the gospel with them. The next fellow comes from Acts chapter 18. And this is Apollos. And Apollos is another one of my favorite people here. Now, these last two guys we're going to talk about a little later, they're not my favorite people, you know. Somebody says, Greg, you got way too many favorite passages in the Bible, and I plead guilty to that, okay? Yeah. I got a lot of good stuff out of the Bible. But here's Apollos, and I like Apollos. Apollos knew the road of education. Apollos knew the road of education. He was. Apollos came from the right town, as you read there in the latter part of Acts chapter 18. He had the right credentials. He had great speaking ability. He was current. He knew the baptism of John. You ever had people that are very well educated, but their education's still about 20 years old? You know, they just do the same thing for the last 20 years, and they really haven't grown, haven't matured. They're not thinking differently. And you say, you know, they're really a smart person, but, you know, they just need to get with the program on what's current. Well, Apollos was current. He knew the law. He was educated. He was a great public speaker. He knew the baptism of John, and he needed more. Now, I like education. I got plenty of it. Love to have more someday if the Lord wills. I think everyone should stay in school as long as they possibly can. Get everything the educational system has to offer and use that properly in the service of God. I am no way anti-education. All right, but I also know that education is not enough to get me to heaven. I can be the smartest guy on the planet and just as lost as the dumbest guy on the planet. Jesus is the one who gets us to heaven. And sometimes we outsmart ourselves because we've got all this education and we think, well, I'll just figure this out on my own. I'll just go to the internet or some library and I'll study it out and I'll figure it. Well, you're not going to figure out anything for sin other than Jesus Christ and His shed blood. I like the road of education. I think we ought to just be as educated in the book and as many other things as we can as possible. But education in the world doesn't work. It doesn't save. Truly, if you know people that are very intelligent, very educated, and very knowledgeable, that's a wonderful thing. But it doesn't get them to heaven. Jesus Christ will get them to heaven. Apollos needed more. And one of the great things about this story is that Apollos was converted. He did accept the message of Priscilla and Aquila, who took him aside and taught him more perfectly, which is another feather in the cap for Apollos, because a lot of times men in this position, well-educated, right credentials, right town, a lot of knowledge, a lot of ability, we don't want to be taught. We think we're above being taught. Thanks be to God and thanks be to Apollos that with all of that going for him, he wasn't above being taught more perfectly. Next time somebody tries to share something with you, don't be offended, don't be upset, don't take it personally. Maybe the Lord is working through them to try to teach you something. Maybe you need to be an Apollos. Maybe you've got all this good stuff going for you, and the Lord just wants to move you in a direction that you really need to go. Yeah. Yes, Apollos knew the road of education, but it's the road of Jesus Christ that saves. The next fellow here is Felix, and this is our scripture reading that Gary gave us just a few moments ago. Here's a person who knew the road of money. Knew the road of money. Oh, he knew some other roads too. He was in power, but as the text tells us, he was waiting for the bribe to hope to get from Paul. He loved his money. Money is a funny thing. It really is. You start preaching about money and people get funny. They get squirmy, you know. You wonder sometimes when we're baptized if everything goes under except the pocketbook, you know. Money's just one of those things that you can talk about all kinds of subjects all day long. You start talking about money and all of a sudden you hit a nerve. Maybe it's because we don't really understand money. Appreciated the Proverbs that Eric read for us there about if you want to really be rich, you got to learn to give. That was wonderful, wasn't it? Yeah. Felix knew the road of money. He was in a position of power and authority, and he would call for Paul, and I like there in the text where it talks about how Paul would talk about self-control and godliness and righteousness. It made him very uncomfortable. This is what he's in there for. I'm not here to hear all this stuff. Grease my palm and I'll let you go. Be like everybody else and give me that bribe and I'll let you out. Paul would rather talk to Felix about the gospel than he would get out of prison. Ever thought about it that way? Yeah. He'd rather have the opportunity to share the gospel with the guards than with Felix than he would to go free. So he wasn't about to grease his palm. He wasn't about to give that bribe. Felix knew the road of money, and many of us here do. Working on a sermon here I'll give in about a month or so about how rich we really are. The title of the lesson is called Untold Riches, and it describes everybody in this building. Oh yeah, we are rich, 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 rich by the world's standards. You know that. Felix was a person who knew the road of money. Money wasn't going to save him. Money wasn't going to make it right. We know that we can't buy our way into heaven. We can't pay somebody off and get our sins forgiven. The only way we can get our sins forgiven is to give our life to Jesus Christ and be part of His body and let His blood wash our soul clean. Let's never think we can figure it out and just throw money at the problem and the problem will go away. These are, if you know the road of money and that's all you know, you're lost, still lost. Finally, we talk from Acts chapter 26 and Agrippa, King Agrippa. And Agrippa, like Felix, and a little bit like Cornelius, knew the road of power. He had authority. When King Agrippa would speak, things would happen. People would move. Stuff got done. Yeah. And that can be infectious. You know the old saying, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. There's a lot of truth in that old axiom. And Agrippa had power. He was used to telling others what to do and having them do it. And so he summons for Paul. Here's the text talks about old Agrippa and all of his pomp, all of his glory, dressed, I'm sure, in his royal robes, sitting on a type of throne, fancy chairs and all that. And I don't know, at least in my mind's eye, maybe not yours, I get the idea that here's Agrippa and his wife and some of the other magistrates and Roman officials there, and they're up, they're high. And down low, on the floor, or maybe even in some sort of a pit, here's old Paul. And he's dirty, and he smells, and his clothes are probably torn and ragged, and he's in chains. He's walking slowly. And there's old Agrippa looking down at him, and Paul looks up at Agrippa and says, "Hey, King Agrippa, I'm glad to be here." Again, Paul would rather be in chains than he would to miss that opportunity to preach the gospel to King Agrippa. And he goes into a wonderful sermon. He knows exactly what to say, and he knows that his King Agrippa and his wife and all that situation, and I mean, he gets to Agrippa. I mean, he just gets right down deep into his soul. And Agrippa's not used to being told what to do. And so I think he just decides he's had enough, at least for now. And he tells Agrippa, "Well, your great learning is driving you mad." The one that's going mad is Agrippa. Because Paul says, "King Agrippa, you know that I'm in my most right mind, and the things which I've talked about have not been done in a corner." He says, "You know what I'm saying is right. You know what I'm saying is verifiable. You know what I'm saying is the answer of prophecy. You know that I'm getting to you." So he says, "I'll see you again. Do you really think in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" What a convenient out. What a convenient out to a man who knows the road of power is not willing to give in to his prisoner. Truly, there may be those among you and your circle of life that know power, know authority. That can be a good thing if it's used properly. But that by itself will never save. It's only Jesus Christ that saves. It's only His shed blood that washes our sins away. So let's not be so excited about people in power, people whose name is in lights. While they may have all kinds of earthly glory and earthly accolades played upon them, if they're not in Christ, they're lost. And they need the gospel desperately. Well, in conclusion, they knew the road, but they were lost. Some knew the road of devotion. It's a good road, but not one that saves. Some people know the road of law. Not a good road, but it doesn't save. Some people know the road of sincerity. Another good road, but it doesn't save. They're still lost. Some know the road of education. It's a good road, but they're lost if they're only on that road. They know the road of money. They know the road of power. As good as those roads might be, without Jesus, they don't save. It is possible to know the road and yet still be lost. As we offer heaven's invitation this morning, it's time to get on that highway of holiness. Time to get on that wonderful road that leads to Jesus Christ and His shed blood, the forgiveness that He offers, and truly the proper relationship with God through Him. If there's something that's been said or done here this morning that's caused you to reflect upon your relationship with God, the road that you've been on, and you know that you need to make a change, then now is your opportunity. Eric selected a song to encourage you. If you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, do so while we stand and while we sing.